Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
A few days ago, I was reading in the Chronicle or something, it said that we've entered the dog days of summer. You ever heard that term, dog days? Dog days are actually, it's a time frame between July the 3rd and August the 11th, except for us. Ours started May and ended in October. But actually, the dog days got their name from the ancient Greeks, because the Sirius, the dog star, brightest star in the night sky, during this time frame would show up at sunrise. And so the sun would rise and they'd also see the dog star. The Greeks thought that the extra dog star created extra heat and drought and illness. And so they began to call it dog days. Dog days, when people talk about dog days now, they talk about just being listless, not having any energy at all. Or you hear terms called the doldrums. Now, if you're a settler, you know what the doldrums are. But the doldrums are actually an intercontinental convergence area near the equator, where the north trade winds and the south trade winds come together. But when they come together, they shoot up, they create thunderstorms, but often there's no surface winds. And that's not a problem if you're in a cruise ship, but if you're in a sailing vessel, you can be stuck without winds. And ancient sailors hated the doldrums because it would leave them stuck for sometimes weeks, no winds. And so the doldrums have become a metaphor for being depressed or being listless or being stuck. Good news is we don't have to be spiritually. We don't have to have dog days or doldrums. That never has been God's plan. And if you're feeling like spiritually you've been listless, that you have been stuck, well, then I'm glad you came. This message is for you. Because that's not God's plan for us. He never intended that we go through with no energy and no spiritual life. In fact, when Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he said this in Romans 12, he said, "Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." That word spiritual fervor is actually a Greek word, zenotes, which means boiling or aglow. And so he's saying that the metaphor is of a boiling pot. You know, if you've got cold water, nothing's happening. Lukewarm water, nothing's happening. But if the water's boiling, there's movement. He said, so you should be boiling. He said that there should be a boiling about you spiritually. And then we hear the term enthusiasm. People say you need to have enthusiasm. But people are like, oh, no. I know, Alan, you're a preacher and we're supposed to be enthusiastic, but... Listen, enthusiasm is not a function of personality. Again, going back to the ancient Greeks, it was a combination of two words, in and God. It is God within. And so when God is within us, there should be a glow. It should be a boiling. He lives in us. It should come out of us. And so enthusiasm is not a matter of hype. It's a matter of the fact that God lives on the inside of us. I was asking Joy. I said, isn't it true that a lot of times when ladies are pregnant, they have a glow about them? And Joy said, absolutely. They have a glow because of the life on the inside. Well, we don't have to be pregnant. I'm never going to be, but I can have the life. I do have the life of God on the inside of me. And so that means there's a glow, there's a boiling on the inside, and we can go with that. Now, you may be saying to yourself, yeah, that's great, Alan, but how do I get there? And I'm glad you asked. So we're going to take a look at a story it's one of these unusual stories in the Bible. But you have to understand, everything that's in the Bible is there for a purpose. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be looking at passages we've never understood and go, oh, okay. I think we'll be learning continually in heaven. But this is a passage from the story that I've used a lot of David at Ziklag. David was the future king of Israel, but at this point in his life, he's running from King Saul, who's trying to kill him. He's got 600 men and their families who've joined him. They become a roving band. And to get away from Saul, David had to move to a town in the Philistine territory called Ziklag. When he's away from Ziklag one day, well, actually they were away for a few days, when they came back, an Amalekite was a group of people, a raiding party had come through, a large raiding party, and had burned Ziklag to the ground, kidnapped all their wives and their children, and took off. They didn't kill anybody. They just burned everything, stole all the goods. And so David is now having to pursue them. And in the pursuit, you see something in this story. There's just a little blurb of a story, but we can learn from it. What we can learn from it is how, if we've been listless, if we have been spiritually without energy, how we can get our spark back. Here's the story here. David and 400 of the men continued the pursuit while 200 stopped because they were too exhausted to cross the Wadi Besor. David's men found an Egyptian in the open country and brought him to David. They gave him some bread to eat and some water to drink. Then they gave him some pressed figs and two clusters of raisins. After he ate, he revived, for he hadn't eaten food or drunk water for 3 days and 3 nights. Then David said to him, "Who do you belong to? Where are you from?" He said, "I'm an Egyptian, a slave of an Amalekite man." He said, "My master abandoned me when I got sick 3 days ago. We raided the south country of the Cherethites, the territory of Judah, and the south country of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag." David then asked him, "Will you lead me to these raiders?" He said, "Swear to me by God that you won't kill me or turn me over to my master. I'll lead you to them." Now, this is an interesting story. And when you see it, you go, why? Why is it even in there? Why didn't they just go, David pursued and found the raiders and killed them? Which he did. But they stopped to talk about an Egyptian man they found out in the field. So here they are going along. They're trying to find this raiding party. And they find this guy in the field. But he's so weak and just, he's been sick and he's weak and he couldn't even help them. I'm sure they're trying to get some information from him. And finally, someone said, "Feed the guy." So they gave him some bread and they gave him some water. And then they added a boost to it. They gave him some fig Newtons and some raisins. They still make fig Newtons, right? That's a shame. But so they said when he ate, he revived. He sparked. He got his energy back. He's got his life back. But when he did, he was able to help them. Before he revived, before he sparked, he wasn't able to help them. I'm sure they were trying to get him to talk. He's like, they had to feed him. But when they fed him, he sparked up again, led them, said, "I'll lead you right to them." He led them right to the Amalekites. David and his men killed all of them, got their wives, got their kids back, got their stuff back, got the stuff that the Amalekites had stolen back. David recovered everything. Good story. But they had help. But the Egyptian couldn't help them until he revived. So here's what I'm saying to you this morning. If you've been thinking, "Man, I've just been spiritually, I've been in the dog days. Spiritually, I've been listless. Spiritually, I just have no energy. Spiritually, man, I've been dragging. I've been just dragging. What do I do?" I got answers for you. We can see it from what they did with this Egyptian guy. So here's what we can learn. Here's the first thing. We start with the basics. I'm going to ask you a question. What have you eaten lately? Have you had anything to eat? This is 10 o'clock. You probably had breakfast. If you didn't have breakfast, you're thinking about lunch. You've probably been thinking about lunch the whole time I've been talking. You'll be like, "When's he going to finish it? We'll have some lunch." But eating is important. Joy and I went to a pizza place in the Woodlands a few months back, a Grimaldi's, and having pizza. I said, "Oh, the pizza's really so good." I thought it was okay. If any of you know better pizza in the area, please tell me. But best pizza we found is in Galveston, a place called Mario's by the seawall. This has nothing to do with the message, and I'm hungry. But we were talking with one of the servers, and the server said that the Iron Man was coming. She said, "When those people come, they eat." She said, "These people eat the Iron Man triathlon. They swim 2.4 miles. Which is 2.4 longer than I want to swim. They bike for 112 miles, and then they run a marathon, 26.2 miles. These people, I have great respect for them, but man, they eat and they carb up and they eat pizza because they know they have to keep their energy up. What are you eating lately? So, well, you know, we had barbecue yesterday. That's not what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about right here. It's written, man must not live on bread alone. This is Jesus talking, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do you realize that God's word will feed you? God's word will help you. And if you're not eating, you're not going to have much energy or strength. You need his word to do that for you. You say, Alan, you're always talking about that. Read the Bible 365. Absolutely. And I'm not going to stop because I know what it'll do for you. It's more than just a religious duty. It is vital to your spiritual energy and life. When my daughter was dealing with some of the most traumatic things that some of you have seen, we did a YouTube clip. It's actually an interview. And we talked about how she'd been through abuse and how she'd been through some difficult times and how she was just in such a desperate state. But when she really began to pick it up, and she will tell you this, she said, Dad, when I picked up my Bible, began to read again. What is she doing? She's eating again. She's reviving again. When you eat, you get stronger. You say, well, I read my Bible last week. I don't feel any stronger. Listen, you ate a bunch of meals last week. You didn't get up from a meal and go, I feel strong. You just ate because you know that if you stop eating, you'll get weak. What are you eating lately? Here's another one. How's your hydration? Now, every time I go to the doctor, they tell me, drink more water. And there's reasons for that. There's health reasons for drinking more water. They said, if you drink more water, see, if you don't drink water, you get dehydrated. Said, then your blood volume goes down and your heart has to work harder to pump the blood, and this can cause fatigue. They said, one of the best things to do in the afternoon, if you have any of you have those mid-afternoon slumps, they said, is drink water and gets the blood flowing. It helps with cognitive thinking and brain recovery. You get rid of brain fog. We know that drinking water is good. So, well, how am I going to drink water spiritually? I can understand eating. How am I going to drink water spiritually? Well, there's a good answer for this. It's here again. It said, this is Ephesians. Paul's writing to the church. It applies to us. He said, don't get drunk with wine. That's a good idea. Which leads to reckless living, but be filled by the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are good ideas. Listen, when you get a spiritual directive, then you have an objective. You have a clear destination of where you want to go. When the Bible says do this, then it tells us, one, we can do that, and then what to do. You say, well, what do you mean drinking, Alan? Well, remember Jesus said, he that believes on him, rivers of living water would flow in him. The Holy Spirit is the rivers of living water. And when you begin to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, then or just even speak psalms, you say, well, Alan, I don't sing. I shouldn't sing. Everybody can sing. Not everybody should record, but everybody, everybody can sing. And you don't have to sing for an audience, but you can read the Psalms out loud. What do you do? When you're doing, you're being filled. You're drinking in. You say, well, I'm just reading out. But no, but you're drinking in, and it's helping you. Now, listen, we talk about this, and you go, okay, that's spiritual. Listen, even science is starting to back up what the Bible has said all along. They have found neuroplasticity is the brain's ability to reorganize itself. And that, in other words, people used to say that you're stuck with the way you are. You are not stuck with the way you are. You can change the way you are, and God can help you. We are transformed people, and we change. And so neuroplasticity said that my brain could change. As I'm worshiping, when you're worshiping, do you realize that the activity in your amygdala, which is a part of the brain that causes fear, calms down? When you're worshiping and praising, not just in here, at home, you're worshiping and praising. You're in your car. You're worshiping and praising. When you read psalms, maybe in your private time, you're praising God. You're reading those psalms out loud. What are you doing? You're drinking in of the Spirit of God that fills you, and you're also causing the hypothalamus. You didn't know you had a hypothalamus. You better keep your hypothalamus together. But here's the deal. With the hypothalamus, that's the part of the brain that releases stress hormones. And it calms down. God knows us. He knows what we're made of because He made us. And He knows what will work for us. Now, let me just put it on a real personal level. How many of you have ever gone through a sad time and then you hear a sad song on the radio or on your playlist? And you're listening to that and you're like, oh, you know, you listen, when you're sad, you've gone through something bad and you listen to a sad song, you don't go, man, I feel better. Listen to that sad song. When I was in the ninth grade, we had ninth grade school dances. And the very ending dance was always a slow dance. And I was getting up the guts to go ask Sonya Winfrey to dance with me. She saw me coming and turned away and danced with Alan Willard. Say, Alan, why do you remember this? Because it hurt me. That's why. And I remember I was so dejected. My mom picked us up. All of us had, there were three of us in the car, three guys. We were all living in the same neighborhood. We all struck out. So we're quiet going home. And I remember going home and I cut on my radio, FM radio. Google it. It's a thing. And I remember cutting, and the Bee Gees were singing. How do you mend a broken heart? How can a loser ever win? Please help me mend my broken heart and let me love again. I'm like, that's me, man. That is me. That is me. That song is singing to me. Well, if that could, how to mend a broken heart is not helping me lift up. But here's what will lift you. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus, you have saved my life. Thank you, Jesus, you have washed me white, brought me out of darkness into marvelous light. When you're praising, when you just read the Psalms out loud, you're hydrating, you're drinking in. We're starting with the basics. Then here's a couple, add a boost. Add some extra boost. Now, I'm going to read a passage to you. This is Paul, excuse me, not Paul, the writer of Hebrews. A lot of people think it's Paul, writing to a group of Christians. And he says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. There's two things here, two boosts here. One is stay connected to God by faith, not feelings. See, a lot of times when you're feeling listless and you just feel like, man, this is something maybe God did, or God's gone away, or God is distant from me, or you hear people say, I'm walking through the valley. No, listen. If you're walking through the valley, then understand that He is with you. His rod and staff will comfort you. You're not by yourself. But this is where we have to move past how we feel to where we believe. See, we can't let feelings establish the limits of our reality. Some people think, well, you know, Alan, if I don't feel it, that feelings are not the highest level of my reality. I can push right past my feelings. I can connect to God, and I can have zero feelings whatsoever and still praise Him and still read my Bible and still, you say, well, I'm not feeling anything. Listen, feelings are a great follower. They're a poor leader. So you can just begin to say, and when you push past your feelings, you know what you've done? You've entered the faith zone. And the Bible said we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. We don't walk by feelings. So stay connected to God. In other words, when you feel down, you feel listless, that's not the time to go, God, where are you? Why do I feel this way? That's the time to go, Lord, I know you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. And I'd boldly say you're my helper. I'm not afraid. So what are you doing? You're pushing past those feelings. And here's the second thing then. Use your words to hold on to your confession of hope, your confession of what you expect. Hope is the expectation of something good. And because we have God's promises, we have the expectation of something good. We have promises of help. We have promises of healing. We have promises of wisdom. We have promises of peace. And when you get into a situation where it doesn't feel like any of that is going on, that's not the time to abandon that. That's the time to hold on tightly to what you believe and what you say and use your words to help you, not hurt you. I talk to people all the time, and oftentimes they'll come to me and go, you know, Alan, I'm just feeling this way, and I got this going on, and I'm down. And it's like, no, we need to get some hope in your mouth. You need to get some help in your mouth, because your words can help you or hurt you. And you can use them to help you. I went through a time in my life where I was down. I didn't call it the doldrums. I called it the pits. I was in the pits. Sorry, Charlie. But I was in the pits. And the Lord spoke to me. And it's a psalm. He says, climb out of the pits with the ladder of your mouth. You've been in there too long, and now it's time to come on out. Put God's word inside and out. It'll start to flow. And you'll climb higher and higher, and out of the pits you'll go. You see, when you get into a down time, it's not the time to talk down. That's the time to talk hope. That's the time to begin to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you. Thank you that I am not listless. I'm strong. Thank you for what you're doing in me, through me. Use your words to help you. That's that extra boost. Now, here's the last point. This is important. Spiritual energy and strength are for a bigger purpose. They're for a bigger purpose. That Egyptian could not help David and his men until he revived. We need spiritual strength and energy if we're going to do something beyond just ourselves. See, a lot of times, and I know that I've been there, maybe you've been there too, when you get through a time and you just feel listless and you feel like, man, I don't have anything to offer, then what happens is your world gets smaller and it's all about you. But when you get stronger, when you revive spiritually, you're able then to look out and go, huh, I can do something with other people. I can be a blessing to other people. The writer of Hebrews continues that thought when he says this, let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works. Now, I've heard people say, consider one another to provoke love and good works in them. I believe it's like when I begin to consider other people, it provokes love and good works in me. And I'm able to look beyond what's going on, beyond my own life. But it takes energy, it takes strength to look beyond your own life and say, I want to be a blessing to other people. And so spiritual energy and strength is this not so my life can be better, although it will be. Because it moves you from surviving to thriving. But spiritual energy and strength is also to make you a blessing to other people. In the 15th century, France was losing the Hundred Years' War. The troops were demoralized. They were just going through a difficult time. And enter on the scene a teenage girl. She didn't have any military background. She didn't have any kind of military experience or strategy. She had no status. She was a peasant girl. But she had a burning zeal and a burning ambition and a burning enthusiasm to see France win. And when she talked with the French prince, the Prince of France, her conviction and her enthusiasm inspired him. And when she went on the battlefield, her bravery and her enthusiasm and her zeal inspired the French troops, and it turned them from defeat and running into an unstoppable force. Her name was Joan of Arc. She was a simple peasant girl, but she had an enthusiasm and a zeal that was beyond reproach. She said, well, you know, sometimes people say, well, I don't have a lot to offer. I'm not that much. I'm not that talented, or I'm not that beautiful, or I don't have any status and no one knows. No, listen, you got God on the inside of you. You got God burning on the inside of you. Your enthusiasm, your spiritual fervor, your boiling hot can make a difference, not just in your life. It can make a difference in the life of others. People are looking for help, and you got something for them. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Heavenly Father, I pray right now for those who are in here and those who are watching online, those who feel like they're just are in the doldrums, the dog days spiritually. They're just going through the motions. Lord, I ask you that you would quicken this, strengthen them in this. They can come out. that they can have an enthusiasm on the inside that's more than personality. It's because you live on the inside of them and you're helping them and strengthening them. Thank you for that. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you we can live differently because you live in us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. If you're here this morning, you say, Alan, I don't even have a relationship with the Lord, or I'm not sure that I do. Or maybe you're like I was and you had a relationship with the Lord and you walked away from Him and you know that. And this morning you're thinking, I need to come back to Him. Whether you're here or whether you're online, this is for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're not going to ask you to stand up, not going to ask you to come down to the front, but we are going to say a prayer and I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to, would you slip your hand up and say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? I want to know where I know. I want to know where I stand with the Lord. I want to be confident of that and I want to come back to Him. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. If you're online, I can't see you. But you can still pray this prayer from the heart. We're going to pray it with you as a church family. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Head still bowed just for a moment. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you have got a good plan for them, always have. Thank you for working that in them. For those who have come to you for the first time, for those who have come back, we give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.